Welcome. Explore the intersection of society, culture, and technology on the Data Revolution podcast with me, Kate Carruthers. This podcast provides insights into the evolving role of data and artificial intelligence in shaping our world. My guest this time is Jonathan Mast. He runs an organization called Whitebeard Strategies, which is a business that helps folks to use generative AI to power their sales and marketing activities. We had a great chat about how people can get started using generative AI in their everyday activities. Welcome, Jonathan. It's great to have you on the podcast.
Well, thank you. I'm excited to be here and looking forward to a great conversation.
I really think it's going to be an interesting conversation. And one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about was your branding, because, you know, a lot of people often talk about AI as if it's something for young people. But with your branding, that was one of the things that really intrigued me about you and one of the reasons we ended up having this conversation. Did you want to talk about that?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, I believe that actually AI is probably the first time we've had a new technology that's come out, Kate, that actually those of us that have some white hair, like myself and my white beard, can take more advantage of it than can the younger generation. And the reason is, I believe fundamentally, AI amplifies skill and experience. And the reality is, I have more skill and experience than somebody who's 25 years old. And so, obviously, as you can see, I have the white beard, so it made sense from a branding perspective. But I truly believe that it is, again, that AI does amplify that skill and experience. And as such, being in your 40s or your 50s or even your 60s and 70s allow you to leverage AI in ways that a 20-something probably can't do. Not that they're not intelligent, but just literally based upon life's experiences. So I think AI is again, just really amazing from that perspective.
I think it's really interesting that you're talking about it as an aid to human beings, because I got some friends who really always put the person at the center of AI and talk about it as an adjunct to humans rather than as a thing in and of itself, sort of taking over from humans. And I think that's an interesting difference in perspective that a lot of people have.
Well, I definitely think that people that think AI is going to, for example, take over, I get where they're coming from, but AI needs us. AI needs the human involved in order to get things done. And again, it's left to its own devices, at least currently, it's not going to be able to do much on its own without us involved at some level. I find by far and away the best value I get out of AI is when I'm using it in a collaborative fashion where it's helping me do things that maybe I'm not particularly good at or that I don't have the patience to do or things like that, that I call almost some of that arduous heavy lifting that I don't want to do during the day. AI can often take care of a lot of that for me, and when trained properly can still reflect me as an individual, which is ultimately what's so important.
And when you're talking about AI, are you talking about generative AI for the most part?
For the most part, yeah. I mean, I think we can talk about it in a lot of different ways, but as a general rule, yeah, we're talking about the large language models and the natural language processing.
It's interesting. So how are you using it to as an aid to you in your daily life?
Literally hundreds of times a day, to from the most simple thing. I have an AI note taker that, you know, I spend a lot of time on Zoom meetings, working with clients, doing trainings, doing coaching sessions, and every one of those gets recorded. And my AI note taker goes through and identifies what are the things that Jonathan promised he was going to do that he now forgot as soon as he got off the call. What are the things that the client said they were going to do? What opportunities exist that were maybe raised during the call that, again, Jonathan may have forgotten about, that we need to let the team be aware of, that there are opportunities or things like that. And so instead of me taking arduous notes, which I'm not very good at, candidly, even at 55, and then not letting my team know what needs to be done, not because I'm intentionally trying not to, but I'm not good at that. Those are details I don't do well at as an entrepreneur. I now have an AI tool that gets in, and my assistant then is able to take care of probably 80% of the stuff that happens in those calls without me ever having to do anything. It's literally, she pulls those reports, she goes through them, she identifies the highlights, she listens to the key parts. But also, she doesn't need to sit and listen to every one of my calls any longer, because AI is able to do that and able to find the parts that are relevant to what she needs and move forward. So that's just one of many, many examples. I use it to help write emails, to create standard operating procedures, to do tons of marketing content because I'm a marketer and a sales guy by nature. Mm-hmm. So I use it to do a lot of that for me. When I do a lot of coaching, and I, from a coaching perspective, we use it to go ahead and help, you know, put a framework to a lot of what we're doing, or if I've got the framework, sometimes to help build out that framework and figure out where those are. I love to brainstorm with it. And when I've got an idea or a direction that I want to head, I often will use it as a sparring partner, so to speak, to brainstorm and to come up with better ideas and to even challenge my ideas, because some of my ideas really aren't that good. And I don't need the AI to go, "Jonathan, that's a great idea," when it was a terrible idea. I need it to look at it and go, "Okay, interesting thought, but we should probably move on because this isn't the best use of your time."
So this is one of the things that I think a lot of people are struggling with. What kind of use cases? And you've just reeled off a lot that you're using in your everyday business life. Are there any other use cases that people could think about adopting AI for?
Oh, I think there's a tremendous number of them. In fact, one of the things I encourage, you know, my students to do is start by just doing one thing. Pick one thing, and then tomorrow maybe pick two, and another one each day, until you've gotten to a point that all of a sudden your mind's going to start realizing, hey, there are all these different things I can use AI to do. Some of them are about business productivity and personal productivity. Some of them are just fun. You know, the other day my wife and I were sitting down, and she'd shared with me that her favorite rock ballad was from, and I'm probably going to remember, I believe it was Journey, might have been Foreigner, I can't remember which band, but the song Open Arms. We've been married 22 years. She's never told me that before that I can recall. And I said, "Well, you've never told me that. How cool is that?" And I used AI to then base a song on her and I, having been married for 22 years, using the overall structure of that song, mm-hmm. and how it was written. It wasn't a mimic of it. And then I had AI actually create the song. And about 7 minutes later, I sent her a text and it had the song, and she went and listened to it, and she got a big smile on her face, and she goes, "Did you just do that?" And I'm like, "Yeah, wasn't that cool?" And so productivity wise, no, it didn't do anything for productivity, but I used AI to basically say, we have a known type of music. I don't want to copy it, but I want to create a special song for my wife and I that's kind of inspired by that. In fact, those are the words I used. And then I brought that into an AI music tool, not necessarily your generative AI, but a music tool, and had it create that based upon a similar music style, again, being inspired by that. It doesn't sound anything like the original song from Journey or Foreigner, but it has reminiscent parts of it, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. And it was a huge hit with my wife. It was great. I've used it with my grandchildren who live, you know, many, many hours away, and I don't get to see that often, to create like short stories and videos and things like that that are still my ideas. I had to come up with the idea. I had to explain that, okay, my grandson's 2.5 and he loves everything with an engine in it, and especially if it's heavy equipment. And so I want to create, you know, something for him. And then I want to create a music track to go along with it that's suitable for a 2.5-year-old. And, you know, I spent probably 45 minutes putting that together. And I sent it to his mom, my daughter-in-law, and wasn't 20 minutes later, I have a video back of her using her phone to tape my 2.5-year-old grandson dancing around the kitchen, listening to it on his dad's phone. And then as soon as it stopped, he looked at it and he goes, "More?" And he wanted to hear it again. So, you know, did that have anything to do with my professional life? Nope, not at all. Did it mean the world to me? Oh, I'll be talking about that in 30 years and remembering it when he's 33, I'll be telling, "Hey, I remember watching you dance around, you know," and I probably still have the video because I saved it. So AI to me is just, it opens up so many creative avenues. I would have never written my grandson a short story and a music video to go along with it because I didn't know how to do all of that. Now I can have the idea, and with AI, is it as good of a story in a music video as a professional? No, but I wasn't trying to make money with it or sell it. I was simply trying to impact my grandson's life that day and was successful in the process because of AI.
That's a really interesting perspective on it. And it seems to me that, like I have no skills in poetry or anything. So, using AI to help me with things like that is a really great idea. So how are you using it in your work? So you've talked about you've got your marketing and sales business, you've got your coaching business. How are you using it there? Because I really think I want to unpack that a bit because I think it's very interesting, your process. Because one of the things that I'm talking to a lot of people out there, and they go, but what will I use it for? How will I use it? So they are trying to work out what the use cases are.
Well, and I think it depends on the person, but I'll give you an example. Just one of the most recent things I did. So I run some masterminds, and I had a mastermind session earlier today with a number of my mastermind participants. And we always provide the replay because not everybody's able to make every call. And we do them via Zoom, and so we have the video recording, and I of course uploaded that into from my computer up into Zoom or to YouTube because that's where we happen to save them so we can share the link out. And then YouTube automatically creates a transcript of those videos. So I had to wait about 30 minutes while it did it on an hour and a half video, but then it gave me a transcript. And the last prompt I entered, in fact, I haven't even done anything with it because I hopped on this call, was quite literally, I'll read it to you just so you can, and it says, if I go way to the top of the transcript, because I pasted in the hour and a half transcript from that call. It says, please review this transcript and provide me with a comprehensive summary, including key takeaways and frequently asked questions that would be suitable for someone who is watching the replay. So that's what I asked it to do, and then I pasted that in. And out of that, I haven't even looked at it, so we're looking at it for the first time here. If I scroll way past, man, a transcript's a long one, it's an hour and a half. It literally then created a summary of it and talked about this mastermind session led by Jonathan, focused on thinking models in AI, which is we did with a live demonstration and discussions. And it goes on and on, and then it has key takeaways. It has about 15 key takeaways, and then it goes into FAQs. And what I'll do is I'll put that along with the video, knowing that most of the people in my masterminds are entrepreneurs, and so a lot of them have short attention spans like I do. It gives them the ability to very easily go in and figure out what parts they want. We'll do a follow-up prompt to this, which is please give me a time-stamped list based on the transcript of these key parts so that if somebody wants to go right to where I talked about this, they can literally fast forward to that part in the video. In the old days, I would have had to, and by that I mean literally just months or even a year ago, I would have probably never been able to do this because the
Well,
amount of time
I
it
used to
would have
do
taken wouldn't
this.
have been worth it.
So you used to have to send the video to someone who'd transcribe it. So they'd type it and then they'd send it back to you, and then you'd get somebody to, somebody would have to sit and do all this work.
Absolutely.
So I mean, there's a couple of people who probably don't have jobs anymore. So,
Well,
there are
and that's a
job losses.
possibility, but the reality is, like for this, I probably wouldn't then pay a transcriptionist to transcribe the video and everything else. I would have just do the video, and that would the deliverable would have been the video. But now AI allows me to add more value to my clients because in addition to the video, I can give them the transcript and I can give them an AI summary of it, which I'm very upfront with. I teach AI, so it's no big surprise to anybody. I use AI in that process. And the feedback we get is incredible. This morning I was working with my team and we're revising one of our courses that we offer. And I said, we have the coursework and I have videos that I do with those that I actually record. We don't do AI for those. I said, but it might be helpful if we develop some handouts. And somebody recommended we use a presentation software called Gamma. And we were literally able to upload the lesson plan that had all of our stuff written out, so our coursework. And in the Gamma, and we said, create a slide deck, basically a PowerPoint presentation for this based upon that. And 2 minutes later, we had a 15 slide deck that was in place for what is about a 20-minute training, hitting all the key points, summarizing it, including graphs, including some pictures, including some infographics and things like that to make it far more interactive. Now, not everybody will find that useful, but by doing those types of things, again, I can add more value to my audience and to my clients, and I can better serve them by giving them more than what I could give them a year ago because I have these tools available to me.
I just jotted down on my notepad that name of that product because it sounds
Yes,
like it's
it's
coming in
Gamma,
handy.
Gamma, dot app, dot app.
Perfect. I've got that written down.
So there's lots of tools like that. Oftentimes, I'm just using ChatGPT, though, because it still does most of the work I need to do. Probably 80% of everything I do with AI, I do in ChatGPT.
How do you deal with the issue of, you know, these tools? You're often, they're not a known entity. Like, we all know who OpenAI are, but, you know, there's a lot of smaller companies. How do you deal with the potential privacy and confidentiality issues? You know, you're putting your intellectual property in them. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that?
Probably poorly, but I assume that pretty much everything I do in life is public in one way or another. So I'm not uploading my tax documents or my personal identifiable information, but, you know, I used it to help me write a campaign for one of my new promotions earlier today. And I wish that OpenAI would share that with the entire world, because I'd like more people to know about that promotion. So that would be pretty cool. You know, we're not putting in things that, again, would be immediately personally identifiable to me, unless it's, you know, marketing or sales oriented stuff, in which case my whole objective is to get it in front of as many people as possible. I've never read nor heard of a circumstance where somebody put data into an AI tool and that specific data was given to somebody else. Definitely, we know even with OpenAI, they're training on that data, unless you have a paid plan. So they are a team plan. I'm sorry. They are absolutely training on that data, but that doesn't mean that data is, you know, Kate, you couldn't go in and so tell me this morning what Jonathan did. There's no way to do that. And because of the amount of money that they need right now in order to function, because AI takes a lot of CPU cycles, it's expensive. Because of that, the investors that are involved, the companies can't afford to play loose with their privacy standards, because if they do, they're going to lose their funding. Because the investors, the institutional investors, and that's the level of money they need now, they're not going to put up with a company that's not willing to do the right thing when it comes to privacy. So, again, do I upload everything? No. Here in the U.S., we have a social security number, and that's never been uploaded and never will be. I don't upload my financial account information or anything like that. But
really sensible advice to people. You know, don't put anything that should be secret up into public clouds or AI applications.
You know, but I just had to run a report on one of the products or services that we provide, because we're in a partnership with somebody else and we owe them some money for participating in that. I had to run the monthly report as we're coming to the end of March. And I ran the report and I uploaded it to AI to analyze and give me the information that I needed. There's no client information in there. It's lots of numbers. It knows who my company, it knows who our partner company is, but it knows them anyway. So it's not a big deal. But again, I was able to then analyze and grab the information that I needed far faster than if I had to go through this manually and pull all this together.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I've noticed now is all the finance apps, you know, the accounting apps that you use, have all got their own AIs that do this.
Yes.
And like my bookkeeper, she's become a whiz with using AI from using it in the platform that she uses. And she's always
absolutely
telling me how much time she's saving, because she used to have to manually go through and identify all these transactions. Yeah. And now she just says, go and group them for me, find them.
Exactly. Well, and again, that's just one of many examples of how AI is a tremendous data analyst. And so if we have data to analyze, it can be really, really productive. One of the other things, I don't have to do much because I'm the boss, I guess, but, you know, we get research reports in and stuff that we have to review. And oftentimes I would have people do that for me and give me summaries of it. Now I can take those research reports and I can upload those into an AI tool like ChatGPT or Claude or even Google Gemini and have it analyze it based upon the things that I'm going to find interesting. And because I've trained it on who I am, my personality, my business, the things that I do, it can now go through those reports and identify the things that are relevant to me, as opposed to the things that might be relevant to you, Kate, in that report, because we're different individuals. And so those types of things, in many cases, it's saving time, but in other cases, it's actually doing work that we simply didn't have time to do before. And now we have that opportunity to be able to do that. And again, when that brings more value to our lives or those that we serve, then I think that's an amazing thing.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. So is it changing search engine optimization?
Absolutely. I believe it is.
I haven't really delved into this, so tell me what's changing.
Well, let me give the disclaimer that I'm not an SEO expert. I'm much more an AI expert than I am an SEO expert, but I pretend to be one on occasion. And I think the biggest difference we're seeing is that AI is allowing businesses and individuals to create more content. And that's not necessarily a good thing because a lot of that content isn't particularly useful. Therefore, Google can no longer, and the search engines can no longer just look at keywords and go, okay, did this article have the right keywords in it? Which I'm oversimplifying it, but it's what historically has happened. Now they need to take a look at not only are the keywords there, because they will be with AI, but what is the overall topic being discussed? And has this author also talked about other things related to this topic? So, you know, one post for a chiropractor in Jacksonville, Florida is not sufficient in order to rank them well, because they need to write about all types of things chiropractic, and they need to talk about if they're working, for example, with families, family chiropractic, or if they're working with athletes, athletic chiropractic, and not just one or two things, but they need to create a lot more content. The good news is we can leverage AI to help us do that. We call it AI-assisted content, and a lot of people are very much in a kerfuffle at the moment about, was that written by AI or not? My contention, and I could be wrong, but we're seeing it with the search engines, and at least in my experience, the search engines and your end users don't really care who wrote the content. They care as to whether that content was helpful.
Accurate, because I used...
And that's part of being helpful, obviously. It has to be accurate.
Exactly. I used AI to do the first draft of something for a university college course that I'm doing. And fully half of it was hallucinated. So I had to go through, and it was really good. It was a really good first draft, but I had to do a very, very careful read through, and fully half of the citations it provided didn't actually exist. So, you know, we've got to be really careful about the quality, because that's one of the real risks that we've got, is there'll be an ocean of poor quality content and we won't be able to differentiate it.
Ironically, I actually think that's a good thing for those of us that care about creating quality content, because it's going to mean the quality content is going to rise to the top and be that much more valuable, because the sea is going to be full of all of this essentially junk content that isn't relevant.
And well, that's what Google is now. The first few results are often just rubbish.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, as an example, I don't use Google anymore as my primary search engine.
Yeah, me neither.
I use it occasionally. I use Perplexity, which is an AI-based search tool.
Although Claude apparently can now search the internet too.
As of last week, yep. They just added that last week, so it's cool. ChatGPT can search the internet. Claude can. Gemini can. So all of these tools can now search the internet. And oftentimes, they can do a better job. We've even got brand new agentic AI that's just coming on the scene, which does far more than just our basic prompts. I gave one the example. My sons and I are going on a weekend, and they're adults, so I was planning on what can we do. Here's the location we're going to, and what do we have planned? Here are the dates we're going to be there. Here's the things that are of interest to them. And I gave it to an agentic AI called Manus, which it just came out a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, I want you to, based upon this information, plan our weekend. Give me some recommendations. It took about an hour, and it was searching and everything else. What's neat is Manus shows you the thought process it went through. So the first step it did is it said, well, in order to do this, I need to put together a task list of the things that I should do. It would be, Kate, much like if I'd given it to an assistant to do. I need to research these venues and research the calendar, and I need to find what's going on. And what was so neat about it is I was able to watch through the log and see how it had... One of my son's interests are in military, and so it had looked at some various military installations where we're going to be, that we could go visit museums and things like that. And it identified at one point that one of the museums was closed the weekend that we were going to be in the area. And so it literally then backtracked and said, okay, that's closed, so we can't pursue that anymore. We now need to look for alternatives. Hmm. And it showed that logic. And then even better, when it presented me with its final report, which was nearly 15 pages of recommendations and venues and restaurants and all this and that, it actually put in, don't try to visit this particular venue because the weekend you're there, this venue is closed. Mm. And so it provided all of that and even did things I didn't ask it to do. I had shared, for example, that we're going on a fishing trip because I'm down in the southern part of the United States near the Gulf, and we're going to go fishing. And one of the things that came back with it said, I'm not sure if you're aware, but I told it who we were going fishing with. It said, near where you're staying and next to the where you're taking off from fishing, there are three restaurants that if you bring your fish that you've caught in, they'll actually cook the fish for you and serve it to you for dinner. I had no idea that even existed.
Oh, so, yeah, you know, that's a great thing.
It took that fact it had that we were going fishing and where that was, and then inferred, well, you're going to need to eat dinner, and you know what? There's a place, here's three places you can literally bring your fish to that will cook it for you for dinner that night. And to me, that's really exciting to see that AI is starting to take a goal that we provide it, identify the tasks it needs to complete to achieve the goal, and then is working on doing that up to the point that it can't. Now, for example, it can't log into certain websites, so it needed me to do that and things like that. But it was amazing what it was able to do. And what it was even more amazing is I was actually out with my family doing things, and I did all of that on my phone.
On your phone, yeah. Yeah, it's all on your phone. So just for the listeners, we might just clarify, Manus is a new Chinese AI, generative AI application. I think it's still in closed beta, so you're very lucky to have gotten an invite. I'd like one if you've got any.
I wish I did. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Everybody wants in. I've seen it in action. But this is the brave new world where you will be able to do things like this with AI. And the example that I use is you'll be able to get it to create a website for you, run a sales campaign, do all of these things that you really want to do, that you used to need to know stuff to do. And it'll be able to do it for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I used Claude earlier today to write an entire marketing email sequence for one of our new courses. I uploaded, it had the information on the course, I gave it the syllabus, and I said, all right, based upon that and the landing page, which by the way, AI wrote the landing page as well, all the copy, I had it create the email campaign, and then I had it create the social media campaign. Now, I know a bit about that because that's my background. But that would have historically taken me hours and hours to have gone through and gotten done. And we did the whole thing, all the copy, in about 45 minutes.
Circling back to where we started, though, you were talking about how it's additive to, you know, our skills as more mature people. But what the future that we're talking about means that skills become much less relevant.
I don't know if I agree with you on that. I think skills and knowledge are still going to be really relevant because, again, and I could be proven wrong, but my core belief is that AI really amplifies what you have. So I, for example, am not a heart surgeon, and anybody that would allow me to do heart surgery on them would be a fool for letting me do that. But I could learn a lot about heart surgery from AI. But I have virtually no experience other than understanding where the heart's located in the body and that it pumps blood. That's about the extent of my knowledge. AI could, let's say, amplify that times 10, and I might get to be a 4 because I'm at a 0.5 or something like that. So I might get to a 5. But if a heart surgeon or a cardiologist used AI in the same way, and they're already at a 9 or a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10, and it has the same multiplication factor, which I actually believe it's even greater, I may have moved to a 5, but they've now moved to a 90 or a 100. And so it's allowed them to do even more. So I actually don't know that I believe that skills will be irrelevant. I think that skills will change, much like when, you know, PCs came out and we got rid of the typewriter and the adding machine on most desks and put a computer in place. I think the skills will change, but I don't think they're going to become irrelevant at all. In fact, I think that those with specific skills that learn to amplify them with AI will actually really leap ahead of many of their competition.
So your argument is that people need to get on the AI train, otherwise they'll get left behind doing things much slower and more inefficiently than everybody that's on the train.
Absolutely. I think, well, certainly there will be some job disruption that happens. This is a disruptive technology, just like the internal combustion engine, just like the printing press. We've had that happen before. And in every historical situation when we've had disruptive technologies come on, there's been a percentage of the population that said, oh my goodness, this is terrible. We're going to all, you know, we're all going to, it's going to
The sky is falling.
Yeah, thank you. The sky is falling. And in every situation, it hasn't worked out that way. Now, when the internal combustion engine came out, were there some people that were displaced? Yes, but most of them started making cars. When the printing press came out, were there scribes that no longer were scribes? Yes, they got different jobs. They learned new things. Mm. That same thing will happen with AI. There will be people that will be displaced. But the people that are at risk of losing jobs and actually losing jobs, in my mind, are the people that go, I'm going to ignore this AI thing because I don't want to use it. It would be like the administrative staff that said back in the, I'm trying to think back when PCs got on, but, you know, in the mid-90s when they said, well, I'm going to keep using the typewriter even though I have a word processor.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a really interesting thing because I always talk about my job, which until recently was as a chief data officer for a large organization. Mm-hmm. And I was like, when I graduated high school, that job didn't exist. There was no way to educate me for that job, you know. So the jobs of the future will be really different. And
oh, yes.
I think, you know, one of the things that we need to do is realistically assess the technology. And I mm-hmm. upset one of my friends the other day because she was saying, oh, but, you know, the technology can be used for bad things. And I'm like, well, that's true. It's the same as guns. It's the same as
everything technology
can be used for good or evil.
Correct.
But we can create, we have agency in the kind of future we're creating. So how we choose to use the technology now will help shape the kind of future we have.
100%. In fact, I feel we have a responsibility to do that. I mean, I'm an avid photographer, amateur photographer, but I love cameras and taking pictures. There have been many pictures taken. In fact, the entire porn industry has been built around pictures that probably we don't want to associate with. That doesn't make the camera something that's evil or bad. Hmm. There's been, you know, a hammer can be used to build something. It can be used to tear something down. It can be used as a weapon. The hammer itself is not evil or good. It's those using it. And AI, I think, is the exact same way. And I think we actually have a responsibility, knowing that those that have nefarious intentions will use it, any tool. If we don't have those and we want to do good, then we have even more of an obligation to do so versus going, well, it's somebody's using it for bad, so I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Hey, so I think this is a good place to wrap up. What are your last couple of tips for people who are trying to get into this, trying to work out what they can use it for? What do you say they should go and do right away?
Well, first and foremost, if you haven't already, download it on your phone, because having it available on your phone makes it accessible in all kinds of situations. And just think of one thing you can do today, just one, that you can leverage AI to help you with. You may not even know if you can, but just try it. Maybe that's writing an email. Maybe that's looking up some information that you'd normally look up on Google. Try it out. And then when you're impressed, which you likely will be, try one more thing tomorrow. And after a week, you'll have tried seven new things, and some of those will really resonate with you. And you're going to start training your mind over a period of time, probably 30 days, to start realizing all of these ways that AI can add value to your life and those around you. And then it will become a great tool and a blessing for everybody.
That is very good advice. Thanks so much, Jonathan. It's been great having you.
Thank you.